Welcome to a Monday Sportsline Bulldog Out. Kevin Murray alongside will take for the three. Hand it off to good buddy Phil Benatti. His fine show behind the bench, normally the three to six, but on a Monday until 5 o'clock because it is Major Wager Monday. Once again for us, Carter, the whole gang at Me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota Granite Park. Doubleheader again tonight available there. We will have the radio feed of the 5 o'clock game from Westwood One, and that will be the Bears and the Commanders. You remember what happened last time the Commanders and Bears played there in D.C. We'll get to that game. We'll also, of course, have down at Munich's Victory Grill the 4:15 start on ESPN, Josh Allen and the Bills in Atlanta to play the Falcons. So another doubleheader between ESPN and ABC, the Commanders and the Bears on ABC. And by the way, the Falcons will be going all the way cross country to play the 49ers next Sunday night. So this one is a portent for the 49ers, the injured fife and drum 49ers for next week as well. Also, baseball already underway on 790 as game two, Mariners and the Blue Jays, followed by the Dodgers and the Brewers. About as busy a day, a weekday, as you can have, with it being Thanksgiving Day in Canada. A lot of hockey going on there. Columbus Day here, there's some hockey going on as well. And then all the baseball and, of course, the doubleheader in the NFL. And we'll tell you all about our schedules for both 790 and 1430 a little bit later, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering, Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management. It's all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. And when we go over the schedules for both 1430 and 790, I will again tell you about the great fundraising that Ed does for his alma mater, Fresno State, and in particular, the Lyles College of Engineering. So many of those graduates go right to work for Ed's business. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. Paul with us, as always, on a Monday. Honor Flight this morning, the 33rd annual Honor Flight on its way to D.C. Paul was there this morning, certainly talked to him about the 67 vets that are on their way there. They'll come back on Wednesday. We'll touch upon that in just a moment, as we always do. But first, our other lead dogs, want to spend some time with you. One, want to remind you about our great friends at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, doing so much to benefit athletics across the valley. One more time, if you have a chance to stop in, great deals going on. We mentioned last week that they're bringing back classics. They've done it already from the last month on, and now they have got the 90s back with what they have done with the classic honey barbecue flavor on everything. Chicken sandwiches, tenders, and, of course, the crispy golden pieces of chicken that you know and love. It's all there right now, everything with the original honey barbecue sauce. You've got biscuits along with some of the great deals, 2-, 3-, 4-piece deals. I'll tell you more about them specifically during the week. But if you can stop in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, pick up a bucket or two, or pick up a chicken sandwich, some tenders, whatever you'd like. Also, you've got the great deal still on Tuesday, the $10 8-piece bucket or tenders, and you've got the country fried steak for $5.99 on Wednesday. Stop in, pick up whatever you'd like, and tell them thanks for supporting athletics all the way across the valley, the local operators of KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. We really appreciate everything they do for us at the station. Other reminders, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, been with us for a long time, allowing us the time to tell you about the weather. Once again, local people, they've been in NorCal and Central California since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. And by the way, you may have some need to clean up after today if the rains hit as hard as they're supposed to right around 5 o'clock today. We'll see how that plays out. But we will go over the forecast right now for the 7 days. Again, anything you need from Lee's, 825-5337, 825-Lee's or leesair.com on the web. They sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. That's how we'll bring Paul up. That's how the guests from the general public as well as everybody, specifically Paul Jackson, etc., or the guests that Phil has, the experts coming along, they come up through the Lee's Air Hotline, which is 559-320-1430. So mark that down if you want to give Phil a call during your show, or Paul Metters as well on Saturday mornings. As far as the forecast goes, 68 today, the low of 55, a low of 49 overnight, and a 61 tomorrow, 66 Wednesday, 70 Thursday. Then we go 72, 76, 79, and the sun comes back up later in the week. But for right now, it appears that we'll have rain by 5 o'clock in the valley floor. And I know North Valley probably has already gotten some of it. The foothills certainly getting ready to be hit hard. Also, there'll be a lot of snow up around China Peak. But this is the first major storm we've had, kind of an early look at winter here in the early part of fall. And so what you have right now is roadways that could be problematic, particularly from 5 o'clock on tonight into tomorrow. The rains might hit for 3 or 4 hours, really sustained tonight, and then tomorrow periods of rain depending upon where you are. And then maybe the foothills will continue to see the rains on Wednesday. And the concern in the foothills right now, those burn-scarred areas from all the wildfires, you could have flooding problems. So if you're up in the upper reaches, the foothills, you're around Coarse Gold right around there or up toward the Sierras, be very, very careful. And again, with the snow, also be very careful. You're going to have snow around 6,000 feet. We could see a half inch to an inch of rain in the valley floor, and we might see up to a foot of snow in the upper reaches. So this could be a substantial weather event for us, and we need the rain and the snow, but be very careful out there as well. So again, watch out, make sure you're prepared, and thanks again for everybody at Lee's allowing us the time to bring you the weather. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, Lee's. The other reminder that I want to share with you comes courtesy of our longtime friend Joe Cruz and his great business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, celebrating his 25th anniversary with his very successful business. Because of the success of the business, he's been a booster at Fresno State for 3 decades now, but in particular the last 25 years, the great work of Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, and I mention this every day. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, all there under one roof. If you're someone working from an industrial standpoint at a plant, if you're a maintenance person, a tanker delivery person, anybody who has to use a valve, if a valve goes down, it can take your business down in a big hurry. And not only do you have a family-friendly business here at Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103, also, you can give them a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE. But you have same-day service, same-day estimates, and the ability to give Joe a call or Gabe, who works for Joe, or go to the web at superiorpipeusa.com or Gabe as a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Tell them what your troubles are. They will analyze it for you, and Joe will come up with a solution in a big hurry so that it keeps you from falling back where you have a catastrophic hit to your bottom line. So stop in and see him. He will solve your problem pronto. And also, if you have time, he will tell you what he does in benefiting Fresno State and will tell you right now that the best answer at the moment, go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link there. Click on that. There are different avenues of donation. You have BulldogFoundation.org there. You have the major giving societies, the Green Bee Society, Myers Champion Circle is there, and under ways to give, you have the delineation of methods of support to tell you how you can give specifically. Then you have the Valley Co-op, which is critically important as you match funds there. And then you've got the sports clubs, the individual clubs for each sport, so you can get your money directly to that team. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. The banquet, by the way, is tonight at Pardini's. I hope you got tickets to go. They've sold out before. We've talked about it all week long. There was an extra week to kind of jump in. I don't think there's time to do that today, but I hope you are going tonight, and we'll talk to Jack Furtig about it on Wednesday. Jack on the board of directors of the Timeout Club. Love to see more members. He said you can call him directly, 559-287-3305, or hit him on his email, FurtigJack@AOL.com. Also links for other sports there as well. For instance, Dugout Club for baseball and other men's and women's sports. They're under sports clubs and ways to give. So it gives you an opportunity to help Fresno State out in a very critical time. And, of course, the NIL monies are all under the roof of the university right now. So there's information there about that as well. And also tickets and parking, all those particular pieces of information are there under an extra tab. Just click on more. It'll tell you all about that. But anyway, thanks to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, for allowing us the time to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. Thanks to Ed Dunkel. We'll tell you more about our upcoming schedules, courtesy of Precision Civil Engineering, a little bit later. Thanks, as always, to Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, and the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. That having been said, I have got about a million emails, and guys, I want to mention this up front because we always get behind, particularly because I can't answer you guys right now privately the way I'd like. I just had another procedure last week, and so I'm hanging in there. But as far as getting back to you, it's really tough, except what I can do over the air. So I just want to mention longtime friends, Rob from Las Vegas. Great hearing from you again, Rob. Richard G., it's been a while. I appreciate the fact you listen every day, and your email is terrific. Longtime pals, Rick P., really great emails again. Robert, thanks for the perspective. Clovis, Dave, as always. Steve and Clovis. Brent and Lauren, you guys got to me a week or so ago. I didn't get back to you. Apologize for that. Same with Phil. JJ, that was a wonderful email today, and I'll try to parse through that during the week, but you are representative of a lot of what has been said already. And to Craig and to Kevin and to Joaquin and Ramon, I will get to your emails as quickly as possible. Want to bring Paul up, and then I will get back to the emails, but I do want to touch upon the honor flight situation because it's so critically important, even with the shutdown, able to send the vets on their way. Paul, how you doing?
Tony, I'm fired up because, you know, the Valley keeps making it happen for our veterans. We got 67 more on their way to Washington, D.C. They just landed a few minutes ago, and everybody who's listening to you right now can join us in welcoming them home Wednesday evening at the airport. We're even going to have a book signing for the first time with a 99-year-old World War II veteran, and all the proceeds go to Honor Flight. So Wednesday evening, the airport is the place to be.
And as we've mentioned many times, that it is so critically important, particularly now as we're in the era of the Vietnam vets and the Gulf War vets. I don't want to forget about that. But we've talked about it so often, Paul, in regard to the Vietnam vets. They came home at a very difficult time. I brought this up. I actually had to register with Selective Service as I was leaving high school, and guys were coming home, and they were not exactly met with much support. And so it's great that they're able to go back and come back here, see the perspective there, and then come back to the kind of hero's welcome they deserved back in the 60s and 70s and didn't get. So it's critically important. And also, I know that despite the government shutdown, you're able to bring them there, and they get to see most everything, save for just a couple of things that are shut down at the moment, correct?
I didn't catch that last part, Tony.
That despite the shutdown, they're able to see most of what they would normally see there in D.C., correct?
Yes, exactly. Yes. So the only casualties on this trip, as far as we understand, and it's been changing every day, the Army Museum, which is a pretty new museum just in the last couple of years, and the vets who have gone have really enjoyed it. They won't be able to see that. It's closed because of the shutdown, and so is Fort McHenry, which is usually the last stop before they get on the plane. But you know, when you lose a couple stops, you add some. So this will be our first group that ever sees the FDR Memorial, which is a new little twist. And they'll still be able to go to the Capitol. And hats off to our local representatives who always find a way. And, you know, it looked like that was going to be something they wouldn't be able to do. But Vince Fong, one of our local congressmen, called the Speaker of the House and said, hey, this is really important. And the Speaker of the House agreed. So Congressman Fong is going to give them a personal tour of the Capitol tomorrow morning, get them on the House floor. Congressman Costa was there this morning at the airport, helping to send them off and shaking hands. So in an era where the very fact there's a government shutdown reminds us of how divided we can be, our veterans remain one of the causes that can bring people together. And, you know, for your sports-minded audience, not only are there a lot of Bulldogs on this flight, Fresno State grads, a lot of Bulldog fans, there's some people with some neat stories about athletics, you know, guys that played tennis in the Navy or are trying to bowl a 300 game and have had 5 299s, or a guy who played football and baseball and ran track at UC Davis, and he's been making wine for decades. There's stories and stories that intersect with the sports world, but more than anything, just with our everyday life. And it's really awe-inspiring when you sit and listen to some of the things that these men and women have done for the rest of us. And I don't need to tell you, with your son's service in the Navy, we've even got one of his fellow nuclear submarine veterans who's on this flight. So people that appreciate what our veterans do for us should be there at the airport with us Wednesday night to welcome them home. And if you've ever been, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but goosebumps every time. It's really, in my mind, the best reflection of who we are as a community and what else we might be able to accomplish when we find other things that we can agree on.
No doubt. And again, around 5:30 or so Wednesday, back at the airport, Paul, is about right for people that want to come on and take a look.
Absolutely.
Coming back in.
Yeah, we hope the plane will land around 6. You know, that's always wait and see what the weather conditions are, if there are any delays. But I'll be out there, you know. We'll start a program out there at 5 o'clock and keep it rolling until they've all marched through the terminal. So it'll be a great time Wednesday night.
No doubt about it, and we always want to mention with the 9/11 anniversary, of course, just passed again, as we have, come up on 24 years, that Vince Tolbert, terrific football player, Fresno State, South Valley native, and Todd Beamer, of course, great hero of the plane that was on its way to the Capitol that was taken down outside of Pittsburgh, played baseball at Fresno State, so that those athletic ties are there at Fresno State whenever we talk about everything from a contextual standpoint this time of year, and certainly Honor Flight is all part of that. I want to get started here with the emails, but I do want to mention this up front. I had a conversation with an assistant coach for a team that already played Fresno State this year. I'm not going to specify the team, but they've already played the Bulldogs. The conversation I had over the weekend was about satellite feeds and things as they try to do their own scouting. And in the course of that, I asked about defending Fresno State, and what I was said, and it is reflected in a lot of these emails, and I'll get your comment on this, Paul, as we start, said the issue right now for Fresno State is everybody knows, and he was diplomatic. You'd understand an assistant coach from the team wanting to be diplomatic. He said, look, we all know Fresno State wants to run the football. We know they have some very, very good running backs. But the attitude is, as long as the passing game is as inconsistent as it is, and he did not specify quarterback or offensive line or wide receivers or play calling, whatever it might be, just said, the feeling is lock down the run and take your chances with the Bulldogs not beating you through the air. Now, the defense had issues at Colorado State, no doubt. But, Paul, starting with the offense, I think everybody knows that is the MO. Whether you're somebody, and a lot of the emails reflect this, that want to see a change of quarterback, whether you're going to blame the offensive line, whether you're going to blame the wide receivers, or the play calling, or a combination of all of the above, what's undeniable, Paul, is as long as everybody who plays against you is not only going to load the box, but they are going to send bodies so they have more than you can block. The Bulldogs don't solve the passing game, Paul, offensively, they're going to have a tremendous problem, because everybody and his brother knows now exactly how to defend Fresno State. So I'll ask you, you sit next to Pat Hill, who knows a lot about this, how do the Bulldogs resolve the offensive issue right now, in your opinion?
Well, I think, you know, they've done a solid job to this point of keeping a win as a team, lose as a team mentality. And, you know, after the close win over Nevada, a lot of those questions were popping up. You know, I heard offensive players get asked about the defense and vice versa. And,
right.
And they all kept that, you know, if you want to call it party line, that's fine. But there's substance to it, right? It's sincere. They really buy into what the coaching staff is preaching. So I think that will be tested, because of what happened in Fort Collins, because there's plenty of blame to go around. And do you really want to play the blame game, or do you want to say, okay, what can I do to get better? And if you heard Coach Ant afterwards, I mean, he took full accountability. Basically said, if you want to blame somebody, blame me. And I'm sure there are a few decisions in that game that he wonders, you know, what if I did that? What if I kicked the field goal, right, to get within 11? keep momentum going. There's still 20 minutes of game time left, plenty of time to overcome that deficit. But that's what happens when you're in that position. Everybody else second-guesses you, and you start second-guessing yourself. Bottom line is, you know, defense missed a ton of tackles. Offense didn't take care of the ball. We saw the previous 2 weeks the turnover margin go, you know, in extreme favor of Fresno State. In this case, it was just the opposite. And that was a huge factor. And when you commit 13 penalties or get called for 13 penalties for over 100 yards, I mean, that's a ton to overcome. So there's not a part of that team that can look in the mirror and say, yeah, I did everything right. It's everybody else's fault. They all have to look in the mirror and say, what do I need to do against San Diego State to put this team in position to win? That's for every player. That's for every coach. That's for them collectively. And I think that's what they'll do, right? And it's one of those things. How many times have we seen it? We've seen a lot of championship teams. They have that hiccup. They have that moment where, well, maybe everybody on the outside expected them to have a cakewalk, and then they found out the hard way that wasn't what was going to happen. And I think the real test here is going to be, how do they come out against the Aztecs? What kind of response do we see? They haven't lost a game at home yet this year. They obviously want to keep it that way. You got Coach Tedford going into the Ring of Honor. It's going to be an earlier kick, not a night game, either a 12:30 or 4 o'clock kick. We don't know yet. But, you know, hopefully that crowd is in the seats early. The Bulldogs can get off to a good start. And this may be the biggest game of the year. You know, you can get bowl eligible and stay in the championship race going to Boise. Or, you know, you can have a different outcome that's going to leave people scratching their heads a little bit. So the stakes are pretty clear for that game against the Aztecs.
One of the great frustrations, Paul, that I had Friday night, and I had the baseball game to do. So here was 15 innings, and the Bulldog game started after the baseball game started and ended before the baseball game ended. But the entire time, I'm looking out of the corner of my eye at the set right next to me about what's going on at Fresno State. Then, of course, went back afterward and rewatched the entire game. And one of the tremendous frustrations for me, other than the obvious, that is a game that, as I said Friday in talking to Panish, and Brian agreed, was almost a must-win game given what they have in front of them. Now, it's still, like you said, rectifiable, but they cannot afford a loss the rest of the way, in my opinion. But the fact they almost lost this game twice Friday, what you're referencing, I mean, you're down 4 scores, and so that should be your blown out. Yet, mention that drive with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter, and they were within reasonable range, Paul, of making this a one-score game with a full quarter to go. And to get that close when you've been that far behind and you made that many mistakes, then to stub your toe again and lose any chance, and it was both the fault of the offense and the defense late. Both had a chance. The offense had a chance to make it a 7-point game, independent of whether you wanted to take the field goal or not, and then the defense could not make stops in the fourth quarter. Paul, it was so burdensome because it was like they lost the damn game twice. That's how it felt to me. Did you believe, momentum-wise, that they actually had a shot? Because I thought they did, despite all their mistakes, until that last play with 3 minutes to go in the third quarter.
And even then, I mean, I thought there was a chance. I would love to see what would have happened if they did keep the field goal, you know, kick the field goal, keep momentum, right, keep more pressure. Because Colorado State had kind of gone into its shell, you know. They had gone really conservative. The defense was playing well, three and out, three and out, three and out. And the Rams had lost all momentum. And I think, you know, those kind of moments give the other team an opportunity to grab momentum back. And that's what the Rams did. And credit to them, right? I mean, Fresno State obviously has a lot of what ifs. What if you don't have a drive killing penalty on the first drive when, you know, you take that aggressive stance of, one, the coin toss, we want the ball. You know, usually you go the other way, but that was a statement saying, hey, we're not going to wait around for this game to come to us. We're going to go grab it by the horns. And then that, you know, penalty on that drive when they had some momentum killed that. And, you know, throughout the game, penalty, penalty, turnover, turnover, fourth down stop, you know, tried the fake punt. Maybe, you know, didn't read it right and could have been convertible, wasn't. And, you know, credit Colorado State. Made plays all night long. They're very aggressive defensively, and the Bulldogs, you know, struggled in protection. And people say, well, that's the offensive line. Not necessarily. when you got seven guys coming at your quarterback, five linemen can't block seven guys. So you need somebody else there. And if you don't have someone assigned to do that, that's going to be an issue. So I think it was a learning opportunity. If you've watched progressively, you know, Hawaii did a really good job to neutralize the Bulldog run game by being very aggressive. Nevada took a similar, slightly different, but similar approach. And then Colorado State said, hey, we're doing it too. And so, you know, that goes back to what that other assistant coach shared with you, that if you become too predictable and too one-dimensional, you're going to be a lot easier to beat. So, you know, yeah, they have to be able to throw the ball. And there are a few moments in that game that change the game, you know. If, you know, the little crossing route gets caught, it's a first down, big play, keep momentum going. If, you know, when you're scrambling, you don't know the guys behind you, you hold on to the football instead of coughing it up, the game changes. If you wrap up, I mean, there were how many broken tackles were there in that game? So game-changing plays. And again, credit to Colorado State. They were ready. It was a great atmosphere, first trip to that stadium. You know, the Rams are going to be a rival in the new Pac-12. So it'll be good to see them get that program going, because that program has had a lot of lead years, and that coach is still on the hot seat. And boy, is it me, or is the shelf life of a college football coach getting shorter and shorter? I mean, you see James Franklin and Jonathan Smith and our friend Trent Dilfer all let go this week in the middle of the season. It's kind of a scary time in a lot of ways. The portal and the NIL situation and the business of college football, I think, has made everybody, players, fans, coaches, administrators, a lot more impatient. And I don't think that the sport is better off for that.
Well, I don't dispute that, Paul. And, you know, you got guys, I mean, Franklin has an enormous buyout, second owner to the Jimbo Fisher buyout a few years ago. But still, you've got guys being shown the door. I mean, Franklin 3 weeks ago was sitting on College Game Day, toast of the town in Happy Valley, and he's out, you know. And it is win now and win big. It's the old Lou Holtz line we talked about the expectations of Notre Dame, right? It carries across the country. I do want to address this, Paul, and that is when we talk about being predictable and we talk about other teams saying, you know what, in so many words, as diplomatic as the assistant coach was, what he's saying is Fresno State, as it stands right now, is not going to beat us through the air. So we're not going to allow them to run the football on us. It also enables them to not only load the box, but as you referenced, go ahead and send backers after the quarterback, making his life even more miserable because they don't believe that he can make plays, nor do they believe the wide receivers can make the back-breaking plays that the Bulldogs need. Is it time to give Conklin a shot? Because, you know, the questions come. Richard, you had some great questions about this. JJ as well, and a lot of other emailers, Paul. Can you make a change now in the season? You've got a bye week right now. You've got the two critically important games, although every game now becomes a must-win, period. Even splitting these two between San Diego State and Boise State may not be good enough to get in that top two. You got to buy after these two games also. Paul, can you realistically make a change to Conklin and feel as though you will be a better football team at this time of the year? I mean, is it time to do that? Is it realistic to think that Matt Entz will do that?
You know, that's a question that's really impossible to answer, Tony. I mean, that's one that it really comes down to what does the coaching staff really believe? Right? If you really wholeheartedly believe that the team is in a better position to win, if you make a change at quarterback, then sure, you do. And, you know, they said all through fall camp how close the battle was, and you and I talked about it, right? I mean, if you're doing it just based on upside, you probably go with Mandel. If you're doing it based on feel, throwing the football and reading the defense, you might go with Conklin. But, you know, it was... those areas were close enough that EJ's experience and the trust that they had in him leading the team, making pre-snap reads, making good decisions with the football, that's what gave him the job. And I thought, you know, we've seen a lot of improvement from him over recent weeks in terms of processing, the speed of processing decisions. But obviously this was not his best game. And, you know, does that get better if you make a change? Maybe. But it's a gamble. You don't know. Maybe you're taking a step back because then somebody else has to, you know, go through the gelling process, the learning process that EJ's been going through with this offense. So it's not a simple situation. It's not an easy situation. I don't know that there's a right answer from the outside. But to this point, Coach Entz has shown nothing but confidence in EJ. You know, in the blowout game against Southern, got Carson some snaps in the second half, let him run the offense, and he made some plays. I mean, he made one really impressive play in a throw that I don't know if anybody else on the team makes. But, you know, ultimately, you have to take emotions out of it, feelings out of it, say, who gives us the best chance to win? And, you know, to this point, that answer has been EJ Warner. And let me say this about EJ. I know it's frustrating for fans to see turnovers. It's frustrating, you know, for fans. The standard of quarterbacks here is probably unfair to most quarterbacks because we look at what the Carr brothers did and what Dilfer did, what Kevin did, and that's what we want. Not everybody has those same skill sets. And, you know, EJ is a competitor. When, you know, in some of the most pivotal plays, he's made the best decisions, shown the most guts, and come through. And, you know, you saw it in the Hawaii game when it was needed. You certainly saw it in the Nevada game at the end when it was needed. If he's in position to make a play that makes the difference, he's been able to do that. In this game, you know, ultimately he never got in that position. And a lot of that was the throws and decisions that he made and the turnovers prevented him from ever being in that position to tap into that decisive mode that has, you know, put him over the top in recent games. So, but he's committed, he's invested. You know, I think all three of those young men are, you know, Jaden Mandel's been battling an injury the last few weeks, but, you know, there's a reason the coach has waited till the end to declare a quarterback. It was a real close competition. And he said, you know, Coach Entz said he felt he had three players that could lead them to victory. And if we find that out at some point, you know, that's how it goes. But it's certainly not my place to say what should happen. The head coach, the offensive coordinator, that quarterback room, they know what's going on. And usually what you end up seeing on the field is a pretty accurate reflection of reality.
Well, Markeen had mentioned, Paul, that his great frustration of this is that with E.J. Warner, this would appear to be he is who we thought he was routine going on, because this is similar to what happened in the previous stops at Temple and Rice. And the rejoinder, of course, was, well, he did not have a lot around him, and then that brings it back to the rest of the offense. And now, look, you know, Clovis Day brought this up. The team itself, you bring up the crowd. The crowd was not huge at the start of the game. They weren't overly enthusiastic until Colorado State, for the first time this year, gave them a reason to be involved in the game, and then they were a factor. And that's what you always want to do, is keep the crowd out. The Bulldogs couldn't do that with that slow start. Dave mentioned that the team appeared to be flat. I don't know. You were there, Paul. I was not. I don't know why in the world they would have been flat, but they certainly were not ready for what Colorado State brought early. That having been said, with E.J. Warner, can you say this is not a repeat of Bryce and Temple, or is it a repeat with the same issues that his supporters say he had there, not enough around him? I mean, where do you draw that line, or can you draw that line yet?
No, I mean, I think we all want to explain it. And, you know, I think you can look at that game. Anybody that watched that game can see the Dogs came out flat, right? They weren't themselves on offense or defense. I mean, Coach Entz would tell you, or coaching, right? And that's what he said. He took it on himself immediately. But, you know, this team hasn't been missing tackles to that degree. In recent weeks, hasn't been turning the football over. The execution was not there. You know, and you could try to make excuses. I mean, I've been in situations, Tony, where the altitude throws me off, where I'm not thinking straight, or, you know, I don't feel like myself. That can be a real deal. Was that the problem the other day? I don't think so. They were missing some key guys, right? Jakari Embry didn't start at corner. Roland Fullwood didn't start at right tackle. He wasn't on the trip. You know, you could look at that and go with that. But the bottom line was, they had a plan, an aggressive plan. They won the toss. They wanted the ball. Then they didn't score. Then they didn't tackle. Then they didn't score. Then they didn't tackle. They made mistakes. They turned it over. They shot themselves in the foot. 13 penalties, over 100 yards. yeah, they weren't themselves. And that's another thing Coach Ent said at the end, right? That's not how we practice. And so, to me, this bye week is a great opportunity for everybody in the program to look in the mirror and say, okay, what am I going to do to make sure that that doesn't happen again? What am I going to do to make sure that in this critical home game against San Diego State, you know, we stay perfect at home? We make Coach Tedford proud to be going in the Ring of Honor on the night that there's a big homecoming win for the Dogs. That's what you focus on. And, you know, let's see what happens. I think it's going to be a great crowd. We know it's going to be a great night, Coach Tedford out there. And let's see how this team responds to adversity. Because I think none of the people on that squad expected that result. And that's a hard thing. When something happens in your life, you know, you think about these young men. A lot of them have gone through tough stuff in their life. But collectively as a team, this team hadn't been blindsided like that before. And when you're blindsided, everybody in your audience can remember something in life that caught them off guard. You know, it could be an accident. It could be, you know, the end of a relationship. It could be, you know, whatever it is. Unexpected things happen and knock you off your feet. But you got to get back up and remember who you are and get back in there. And that's what this team's going to do. And, you know, speaking of, that's probably a parallel to last season to this season for the basketball team. And I'm really excited. I was just out of practice today talking to the coaches. It's going to be fun watching the Red Wave get to know these players tonight at tip-off dinner. This team's a lot deeper, have some guys that can really shoot. I mean, I don't know that there's been a shooter like Jake Heidbreder in this program for a long time. You know, whether the all-around game is there is going to remain to be seen. But he's been a high-caliber player in this conference before, and he's a really, really powerful shooter. So, and I think there's enough around him to create opportunities for him, so teams aren't just going to key on him. And he's not the only guy. I mean, their bigs are going to shoot. They're going to spread the floor. I'm interested to see how they perform defensively. But I think you look at a more favorable schedule than last year with a lot of home games. And I know that Coach Wahlberg and staff, they're going to be really disappointed if they don't get through the non-conference schedule with an impressive record. And if they do that, let's see how much of that momentum they can carry into conference, which is going to be a little different this year. I know we're all thinking about next year when Gonzaga comes to the league, all these other powers are still there. But as I look at it from last year to this year, the impenetrability of the top half of this league isn't so impenetrable anymore. I mean, New Mexico has zero returning players. A lot of teams have zero returning players. It's a whole new world. And I don't think it's out of the question. Now, is it going to happen? We'll see. But I don't think it's out of the question for the Bulldogs to end up with significant progress this year. I think the league is a little more ripe for the picking, and that's certainly true in football. I mean, watching the Boise State-New Mexico game, Lobos were down 3 in the fourth quarter. They had a chance to steal that game on the blue. This is an absolutely wide-open league. And as, you know, the unexpected result reminded us Friday night, throw the records out the window. I think in the Mountain West this year, pretty much anybody could beat anybody else on any given night. So can you execute well enough to be that team week after week? And for 5 weeks in a row, the Bulldogs were that team. Friday night in Fort Collins, they absolutely were not. So I've had bad days too, Tony. I know you have. Let's see if they can get back on the right track against San Diego State.
All right. Fair enough, Paul. One last question for you. I appreciate the time. Again, people out at the airport around 5:30 to welcome back everybody from Honor Flight 33. Boy, amazing. 33 of these Honor Flights, really exceptional. I remember the first time we were talking about it. You've done an amazing job, and the people there at cvhonorflight.org give if you possibly can. Paul, the bottom line is this, and we've talked about this, and Robert, you reflected in the email, JJ, I know you did, a lot of the guys did, and I'll be continuing with Jackson, of course, during the week to talk about this, including tomorrow and Thursday with the bye week this week, a lot of time to talk about what just happened last week in Fort Collins. But, well, the fact is this Bulldog team, and we brought it up, has been on the high wire more times than not. Of course, they've been able to make the plays late. But except for the game against Southern, which was an FCS opponent. The Bulldogs have not been dominant. They had a dominant second half against Georgia Southern, but Fresno State was also behind at the half. Leaving the Kansas game aside, because you lost that, and your other wins, they could have been losses. They were not. The Bulldogs credit, they won. The wheels came off big time in all aspects Friday, and there are going to have to be decisions made during the bye week. We'll see what Enns and company decide to do. But what I'm wondering about, Paul, is are we seeing this team regress to the mean? Are we seeing them come down to what they are, really? Or are you saying the jury is still out? I'm hopeful the jury is still out. Are you hopeful the jury is still out? And what happened Friday was not the reality check of what we're going to see the rest of the year. I don't mean they're going to get blown out the rest of the year, but that they're going to struggle mightily against anybody left in this particular league. Just wondering your point of view.
You know, I think the jury has to still be out. You know, it's a new coaching staff, so many new players. You know, before Friday, they're everybody's darling, looking for a sixth straight win. And, you know, now they're looking in the mirror. And I thought it was fitting. The chapel message Friday morning from Cam Lamanuzzi, former Bulldog, who does that now, was about pride versus humility. And, you know, one of the things that he mentioned was, you either humble yourself or you're going to be humble. And if anybody was at all overconfident and lived through that game Friday night, they're not going to make that mistake again. So it's a learning opportunity. This is supposed to be an educational experience. And so often we learn the most through the most painful experiences in our lives. And this was painful for them. There's no question. But is that who they are? I don't think so. You know, I think to your point about could have lost at Oregon State, could have lost at Hawaii, right? The game against Nevada easily could have gotten away, but none of them did. And, you know, so that team that found a way to win those games when it could have snowballed and gotten away is the team that we're going to need to see against San Diego State, because this year's Aztec team has some firepower, playmakers on both sides of the ball. That game's going to have some moments that really favor San Diego State and give the Aztecs a chance to win. The Fresno State's going to have to swing right back and not allow a big play for the opposition or a mistake or a bad break to snowball, right? And unfortunately against Colorado State, we saw that. Can't see that again. And yep. I'm confident that we'll see the Bulldogs stick together, you know, not turn on each other, not fracture, not start pointing fingers, but stick together and return to the team that won five straight.
Well, we know this. If you lose to San Diego State, as far as your conference hopes, they're pretty much dashed. So you are right now up against the wall in regard to your conference championship, given the fact that you have not only San Diego State and Boise State, but UNLV there. To be in the top two with a second loss in conference this early on would make it almost impossible. So they've got a week to figure it out. Game, of course, 2 weeks from this past Saturday on the 25th. Paul, I appreciate it again. I hope people are out at the airport on Wednesday. Hope the banquet goes very well tonight, and we'll certainly talk next week. Always appreciate you coming on. Take care, my friend.
Yeah, thank you, Tony. Thanks for spreading the word about Honor Flight, and thanks to all your listeners who have donated to make it possible. It's all volunteers. It's all donations, and we've got almost 400 on the waiting list, so we got to keep it rolling. Thanks for the support.
No doubt about it. Take care, my friend. I'll see you. All right, guys. Paul Leffler, take a break, come back, talk about the schedule, hand it off to Phil. He's got two fine hours for you. Major wager Monday. Head on out. Me and Ed's Victory Grill, Granite Park, Cedar in Dakota. Carter, the whole gang out there for the 5 o'clock, 5:15 kick, to be precise, with the Bears and the Commanders. But also keep in mind Josh Allen and the Bills in Atlanta, and that game starts at 4:15. That'll be available as well there. We have the radio feed of the Commanders and the Bears. Take a break, tell you about the schedule after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Monday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Welcome back, 2:53. A couple minutes ago on the show, hand it off to Phil. His fine show behind the bench. 2 hours today, normally three, but we have Major Wager Monday and the Westwood One feed of the Commanders hosting the Bears tonight. Tell you all about the schedule right now, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. And again, we commend Ed for all the great fundraising he does for his alma mater, Fresno State, in particular for the Lyles College of Engineering. As always, the goal is, and it's reached very, very successfully by the business, unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It means that if you're there in the Lyles College of Engineering, Ed and his business do everything they can to help you get through school and get the great job you want. Many times it's right there at Precision Civil Engineering and the great work that that business does all across the Central Valley. As far as the lineup goes, very busy day for us, mentioning Major Wager Monday, Carter and the gang at me and Ed's Victory Grill right around 5 o'clock today for the Bears and the Commanders. Stop in. Great food, obviously, at me and Ed's, Cedar and Dakota. Also, the giveaways there and the terrific atmosphere, as always, as people talk sports around the place. And Phil will lead up to that with his show 3 to 5 today. And keep in mind, you have two games, 4:15, Josh Allen and the Bills in Atlanta. That game is on ESPN. And then at 5 o'clock, 5:15 kick, the ABC feed. We have the radio feed of the Bears and the Commanders. 49ers will host the Falcons next Sunday. We'll have that for you. The Raiders will be in Kansas City. We'll have that for you. And the Rams, the very early 6:30 in the morning start, they are in London to play Jacksonville. So we've got all three of our teams at different time slots next week. We have baseball, of course, on 790 right now, the league championship series. By the way, Seattle and Toronto tied 3-3, end of the second. That's on Big Fox and on FS1. And we have the radio feed, of course, on 790, our sister station, the Deuce. At 5:08, to be precise, game one of the NLCS, the Dodgers in Milwaukee to play the Brewers. We have the radio feed from ESPN Radio, and you've got TBS and HBO Max with the telecast and iTrue TV as well. And we'll have coverage of all of that all the way through the league championship series and, of course, the World Series. The other reminders, Phil, normally 3 to 6 with an outstanding show behind the bench. Thursdays at Fashion Furnish with our good friend Rod Avedikian, best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. The great conversation of Phil's show, some good eats as well. El Paso across from River Park, you can always give Phil a call on the Lee's Air hotline. That is 559-320-1430. He and Paul Metters and Pat Hill, when Pat is in town, which will be the case next couple of weeks with the bye week, actually next 3 weeks, the bye week, then San Diego State, two, and then Boise. So three of the next 4 weeks, Paul will have the opportunity and Phil to have Pat with them for the broadcast of Friday Night Lights, the great high school football package on 1430. Paul Metters has two fine shows for you during the week on Wednesdays. Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics. That is on 790 from 6 to 7 on Wednesdays. And then on Saturday mornings, Paul has his long-running show from First Ring Sports. That's Central Valley Sports Report. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number 1 at att.net. I'll try everything I can to get through more emails with Jackson during the week, beginning tomorrow, and then the Thursday visit as well. Jack Furtig with me on Wednesday. He'll talk all about the banquet that they will have tonight that Paul was mentioning, and Brian Panish back with us on Friday. Every for the station, 1430 ESPN, Fresno.com. You'll find the live links and podcast there. Get the app. Makes it a lot easier to listen. And then finally, the thank yous go out to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, to Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, and finally to our great friends at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. I want to remind you one more time, they're bringing back now the legendary look of the late 90s, which means the honey barbecue sauce on everything, chicken sandwiches, tenders, and of course, the great golden pieces of chicken there at the KFCs. They've got 2-, 3-, and 4-piece deals. They've got deals on their sandwiches, their tenders, everything there. I'll tell you more about it during the week. But everything with the original honey barbecue sauce, which is sweet and savory, and back for this month of October. So jump on aboard at the KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Thanks to Horace. Thanks to Paul for stopping by. It's not easy. I want to make this clear. Not easy with the questions I asked Paul, and I really appreciate him coming on. So, Jorge, thank you for your work, and Paul, thank you for your patience with me. I hope you guys go out to the airport on Wednesday right around 5 to 5:30 and welcome the veterans coming back from D.C. from Honor Flight 33 that took off this morning from the airport. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Stay tuned for football, baseball over on 790, and Phil coming up for 2 hours leading up to football on KFIG Fresno.